And good evening, everybody. This is Vertical Live Radio, and tonight our program is Woman on the Rise, and we have two great dynamic ladies who will be on today. First, I'd like to go through a little bit of house cleaning. That song was Stevie Snow's Love Makes a Woman. And if you don't know about Woman on the Rise, Woman on the Rise is about inspiring women to overcome the barriers of their success by hearing conversations from other women who have faced their challenges or are pursuing their passion. And let me just give you a little bit of statistics here that I kind of was, you know, I kind of keep track of what's going on national. The many women that I've interviewed have come from either corporate America and started their own businesses, or they're pursuing their passion. And some statistics from the National Women's Business Council says that usually a lot of women-owned businesses have a lack of access to capital, and that continues to be the issue. On the average, women start their business with half as much capital as men. Another one I want to say, but in looking at that not having enough capital, when you look at why you should invest in women-owned businesses, it's because women-owned businesses as of 2012 are a vital component to the economy. And in the United States, there was approximately 9 million privately held women-owned firms. Firms owned by women are responsible for approximately $1 trillion in sales, which is pretty good. Why you should invest? Well, they gave you five good points there, but I just took one. Women-owned and women-led firms exhibit stronger financial performance despite less access to capital. They have higher levels of financial performance compared to exclusively men-owned firms. They also put up to 75% of earnings back into the community, and that's why it's important that if you know of a women's business that's owned, why it's such a great idea to invest in that firm, whether it's being able to buy their products or services. But this is a great incentive right here to do just that. So let's talk about who's on the program tonight. Lisa Hatfield and Catherine Waddell. Lisa Hatfield, in addition to being an author, she's employed with a nonprofit organization that's focused on the care of the elderly. And Lisa and I have known each other for a while. She's really passionate about what she does at that organization. But she's also a passionate blogger, and she has a page that she blogs where she focuses on inspirational people worldwide. And we'll have a chance to talk to her about that. She also she's also an author, and we'll talk about some of her books. She also has a new business called Angel Signs 111, which is a business that assists with guiding individuals to their dreams through angel card readings and interpretation. So I look forward to having Lisa on the program. And then we have Catherine Waddell. Catherine Waddell started her career at This Needs to Be Said Media in 2009, and she has transitioned to her company after exiting the school system, deciding that her classroom would be the radio audience. She offers her clients a platform to market their business as a commentator through her training and coaching program. She's also been called by her clients. She's also been called upon by her clients for accountability, business advice, and mentorship. She's a Charlotte native, and she has served as a community leader and a youth mentor and an inspiration to those seeking to live out their passion. So, you know, I'm looking forward to talking more to these two ladies. Let's recognize our sponsor. Our sponsor is Hope's Crossing. We're broadcasting live in Phoenix, Arizona, and Hope's Crossing is a nonprofit in Arizona. They're having a charity golf tournament on October the 24th. So you know what? Save that date. The name of the tournament, Sink One for Hope. That tournament's going to be held at ASU Carstens Golf Course, You know, if you know where ASU's golf course, Carson's golf course, is on 1125 East Rio Salado Parkway in Tempe, Arizona. If you'd like more information, you can call Laura Bullock, and her number is 602-795-8098. You can also email them at createhope, that's createhope, at hopecrossing.org. And as I said, they're getting ready to have this charity golf tournament. If you like to golf, it's a great way to go out there and vote and either sharpen your skills or play with the experts that will be out there that day. Thank you, Hope Crossing, for your constant support of Vertical Live Radio. So now let's get to our program, and I want to introduce you to Alisa Hatfield and Catherine Waddell. Hello, ladies. How are you this evening?
Wonderful.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. So, you know, what I want to do is kind of talk to each one of you first and then just kind of open it up for a conversation. As you know, this is about the challenges and the successes that you have in your, you know, in your endeavor to fulfill your dreams. But it's also, we're also going to talk towards the end a little bit about your future endeavors. So, Lisa, now we've been knowing each other for a while, and I'm going to tell you, you're a very prolific writer.
Oh, thank you.
You really are. I see some of the people you write about, and so tell me a little bit, what made you start writing? How did that become a passion for you?
Well, I actually have always dreamed of writing, but I'd write, throw things away over the years. And then just after working with the girls that were coming out of foster care and learning from them, because truthfully, I learned from them, and I just learned I needed to follow my dreams. So
mm-hmm.
my first horribly edited series, and I'm learning in a process that goes as a foster care series, and and 10% of that, if those books ever make money, that will go to help the Royal Families Kids Camp. And then my next series, my next book, Underground, 10% of that goes to Carrie Light. She's on Facebook. My friend Carrie
mm-hmm.
Schaefer, she helps fight human trafficking here in the Midwest.
Okay.
So she has a nonprofit, and I told her I would donate 10% of that. And then Diamond Murders, my most recent release about a year ago, 10% of that will go to my friend Missy for her little boy who has autism and infantile scoliosis. And that will help with his medical bills. And so the next release being Wheat Murders, hopefully soon. I'm very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and I do believe that.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But I do believe in, since I'm following my dream, I do believe in donating out to help others along their path, too, and to follow their dreams.
Well,
so
that's my ultimate goal. That's great to do that. I know that on your blog you focus on people that inspire other people. I know
mm-hmm.
that's the big focus. So you want to tell us the name of your blog and, you know, tell us maybe one or two about people that you've featured on that blog.
My blog is called Passionate Organizations, and it's mostly there to help independent artists, actors, musicians, whoever. I want to help put them in a direction of moving forward and gaining the success that they want. So helping them
mm-hmm.
along their path. And I have honestly written about very inspirational people, especially you, Celeste. I really enjoyed doing your blog. You are a very inspirational person.
Okay.
I get a lot of strength from you.
I didn't pay Lisa to say that. I didn't pay Lisa to say that, but thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you.
And, of course, Gerg Anadam, he's another one, and I love doing features on him because he is another person who helps people along the way by featuring
mm-hmm.
their music on his radio show. and really talks them up. And then he pulls people in to actually talk to the musicians in his chat room, and it's really great. Charnell Williams is another inspirational person who helps other people along their path. Shanika Canty, she is amazing for being so young. And she really wants to help women find their passions and follow their dreams. So I have really, really, really done some great blogs on some amazing people.
That's great.
Yeah. And then I like to use it, too, to raise awareness, which I have done for the elderly and some. And then my most recent would be for the wild horses, because many people, I don't know if anybody listening in knows that the wild horses are in jeopardy, and they are being rounded up, tranquilized, helicopters are chasing them down, some of them are getting hurt. And so there's a lot of places out there that are trying to help save them. And Laura Lee, who is a one-woman show, she goes out there and lives off of donations only to help save these wild horses. She's amazing. I've read a lot of stories about her. So she's looking for donations, too, if anybody wants to donate, to help her out at wildhorseorganization.org to try to save a bit of our history.
Lisa, now I know that you're working, I know that you're still working with a nonprofit, and you work full-time hours, I believe, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, you know, how do you like working there? And I know that you do a lot with the elderly. In fact, I know I read something that you did recently, and we've had conversations about what's going on with health care and the elderly. Are you are you planning to stay there longer? Are you looking at maybe eventually going full-time into your writing? Because I know you're very passionate about what you do.
Yeah, my dream is to go full-time into my writing and blogging and my spiritual business, because I do want to. I enjoy the blogging and helping people, and I enjoy doing readings and helping people find what's blocking them and to help them figure out where they need to unblock to move forward. I hate to say it, but I'm not happy unless I'm helping somebody, and I shouldn't hate to say that, but yeah. And so I don't plan on staying there, but I do believe in advocating for our elderly, because we do need to fix a lot of things that are going on with them. They are not getting the proper care that they need. And the fact that they have to choose between medication and eating is a big deal with me.
I want to ask you, like, what has been one of your biggest challenges, though, in thinking about how to make that, you know, how to make that that crossover from working with a nonprofit and doing the other thing full time?
Biggest challenge would be income. You know, I have three kids, so I guess I'm scared to make that leap of faith, and because it's an uncertain income. So I just hope one day that I'll wake up and I'll be able to make that leap of faith and feel safe in that decision.
Okay. Well, we're going to bring Catherine on, and so we're going to talk to Catherine, because, you know, I love the fact of having two ladies on today, because we can always get something from everyone we talk to. So, Catherine, how are you today again? And, Catherine, you know, Lisa brings up a great answer when it comes to challenges. You know, so you've worked quite a few. You worked at Cigna, and you worked in the school system. So what was it like for you to make that leap into your own company?
Hello, everyone, and it's great to be here. For me, it was liberating. It wasn't until I was absolutely unhireable before I panicked. So at first it was like, okay, a weight was lifted, and 5 weeks later into, you know, doing what I'm doing now, I was like, what have I done? But that was 6 years ago, and I'm here, and I wouldn't change the journey for anything. And even when times seem pressing, I can't stop. And, you know, some people have suggested.
But what do you mean when you say you were unhireable?
when they send you the letter when you quit your job and said you're no longer eligible for rehire.
Okay.
So I knew there was no turning back. Yeah.
So there was no way to go back. Okay. How many years
had
you been working there before you got that letter?
Well, I was working at two years, but I did a 2-day notice, and I did not respond to my supervisor when she called me. So I decided I just wasn't going back. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So now, what pushed you out of that? Was it just the company, or was it a stronger desire that you just knew you could do something else?
I'm going to say a mix of both. I was not feeling appreciated in what I was doing at the job. You were there to be a robot and not to impose your thoughts on their policies, and I didn't like that, and I have a need to make a difference wherever I am, and when I'm not making a difference, that's not the place I need to be because I'm not going to make it better. I'm not going to add value to anyone's life. So I said, you know what, I can't just sit by and do this. This isn't for me. So I left. And it was like I was on fire. I could not stay.
Okay. And I want to say that in fact, because I've heard Catherine. Catherine's a great, she's a great, I want to say broadcaster. I've listened to her on the radio. And I just want to say, Catherine, so, What made you go into media, into that type of medium when you came out and decided that this is the medium I'm going to go into and commentator, you know, and help clients in that realm? I know you do more than that, but what made you go into broadcasting first?
Someone suggested it to me, and it was odd because I've always written in a journal. My voice is heavy. And I hadn't fallen in love with my voice and wasn't used to using it for anything other than talking to my family and friends. So now you want me to put it on radio? So someone suggested it to me. They said, you should try Blog Talk Radio. And I was like, okay. And I really thought it was going to be this long, drawn-out process, and it would be weeks and weeks, and it would be enough time for me to escape and say at least I tried it. But it was a lot of fun. It was right in line with me wanting to teach. And I was like, hey, I can do this. I can use this for my classroom. So someone suggested it to me. It was not my plan or my dream or my goal. But when I got into it, I couldn't stop.
Oh, okay. And so what was maybe the challenge you had? Like, tell me what were the challenges when it came to probably other businesses or clients in doing this program. Did you have many challenges there, or were your challenges just your own? Did you? Give us an example
lots of challenges.
Of the challenges.
One would
so
be being new in radio. One would be being new in radio. No one knows you, and you can't tell them how many people you got tuning in because you don't know how to rate that. You don't know how to collect that data, so I can't go to someone and say, hey, give me your money to advertise on my show because I can guarantee you're going to get customers. Or I can, you know, there was nothing I had to sell. So I was on my own dime for probably two and a half years. So getting people to trust me was tough, getting people to know what I was doing. And because radio was all of a sudden for myself, it was all of a sudden for those who knew me as well. So it was like, well, you're doing what? You know, and then it was online. So now I got to teach the consumer how to find me, how to tune in to me. So it was just teaching. It was just a whole process of making people aware that I was doing this. This is where you can find me. This is why you would benefit from it. So it took a really long time. And people, you know, just watched. You know, I was going to sink or swim. So the support wasn't there either. So I started a sub-business to this called Dream Global Support Network because I realized if I don't have the support, there are other people that are in business running into the same thing, and I was learning it as I was going. Because my mom told me to go ahead and live my dream, but I couldn't borrow gas money from her, so that was a problem.
Oh, I can totally relate to that. Isn't that the way with family? I could totally relate. Oh, we love what you're doing. You sound good, but yeah, you know,
yeah, how am I going to get my money back? Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, now the name of your media was This Needs to Be Said Media, and you, I was reading on your website that you focused on the things that people don't really say, or like you say, the elephant that's in the room. So
they shy away from having. It was a blog. Actually, it was a written blog that I was really just randomness with me by myself. And long time ago, when Facebook had blogs as opposed to group pages, I would just go in there and just write things I felt like needed to be talked about, things people weren't saying, and they were really random things. And so I just grabbed the name from there and put it on the radio show, and I didn't know if it was going to fly or not. And over the years, I was thinking of changing it. But you ever go to a family event and everybody's talking about a particular family member until they walk in the room? I thought that was strange every time I encountered that. And then you see that at work as well. Somebody's talking about a coworker, and then all of a sudden no one's talking about that topic because the coworker that was the subject comes in the room. And I'm like, well, if you really have a problem with this person, why aren't we talking to this person? Why are we talking about them behind their back? So I'm the advocate saying, you know, listen, you know, this is what they were saying before you came in the room. So I wasn't probably not well-liked, but I didn't really care much about it because I'm not one that enjoys there being a problem or an alleged problem, and we're not trying to solve it. So either don't talk about it or let's find a solution, because if you're talking about the person, are you trying to help them or are you trying to humiliate them? You know, and over time, people, especially like when I was at Cigna, looked for me to advocate for them. At Cigna, we had claims, and, you know, you'd have someone, oh, this person can't process claims. Well, how do we help this person? So you train, you coach, you mentor, and when it's time to get, you know, audited, you help them, you know, rebuttal those claims. And a lot of times I was able to help them explain their way out of that error. And so my outspokenness, my elephants in the room became something that was useful even to the people who didn't like me so much. So it just came from just everyday stuff, and you just watching like, are y'all really talking about somebody and you're not going to talk to them to their face? And what really catapulted that was when people say, oh, I speak my mind, but you never speak your mind at the right time or to the person that you're talking about. So it was like calling people on the carpet, like cut that out, you know, so that's where it came from.
Okay. So let me ask you, and this would be for both of you, and Catherine, you can answer it first. Who is your support team? Who is, you know, because as we, you know, have said a little bit, I would say the majority of the time, it's not your family. So who is your support team as you were growing with this business and as you're going through with the business now?
It changes each year, and it depends on what project I'm working on. The coaching and mentoring is something that's consistent in my business, but your people change. Your tribe change based on what you're learning and what you need for that part of your journey. I'll give you an example. My first radio team of commentators is I've changed three teams of people, not because I'm terrible or they're terrible, but one, I didn't know what, you know, to have common values. Like I had a whole bunch of people that were out for the summer that were helping me with the radio show at first. I was like, oh, this is great. They went back to work and nobody told me. So then I was there by myself. So I was like, okay, ask better questions. But when you think about the dynamics of business, maybe you are in a mastermind group, or maybe you go to like Toastmasters, or maybe you are a part of a group because you're learning how to structure your human resources department. So it depends on what you're working on that year, what I'm working on that year, who my support is. Now, consistently, I have had, over the past 4 years, I have had two friends that are not in the business. They're not in a particular business. They have been my sounding board. They have been my support. They have been my financers. They have been a lot of things that I've needed over the years, and it's very rare because oftentimes I'm wondering, where are they going to leave like the other people did? So, but for the bigger part, my support changes based on the topic or the project. My mom to this day will still call me right at 2 o'clock when I'm getting ready to do my show. She's like, what are you doing? I said, Mom, I got a radio show I'm doing, and I'm getting ready to work. And she's like, oh, you work? So she still does that to this day. And now she's like, I don't mean it like that. So, no, she's not on my team. So it's like, okay, it's this radio thing I do. I've been doing it for a little while now. But just finding people to become your accomplice in your success is something that they have to want it. They have to want it as bad as you do. And they have to speak up for you when you doubt yourself. And they have helped tremendously. And it's been to my surprise the whole time So I never know who's going to be my support, because sometimes when things don't look good in your business, people will jump ship on you. So kudos to those two people. So my people have changed
That's
over the years.
Okay. So approximately, because I like to ask women this question when I meet a woman who's doing her own thing or who tells me, well, you know, I came out of something, whether it was a job life change or something in the family type of a life change that pushes them into doing their own business, or just, you know, just they just get tired and they want to do something that's more challenging. So I wanted to ask you, was it hard, or how long did it take you to get to where you were not just using every dime that you made on your own to put into the business, and that you actually started seeing a return on your investment?
I want to say within the last 2.5 years, because the first 2.5 years I was trying to figure out, you know, what it was that I was doing. Going into year 3 and 4, getting an idea and being more trusted as a source. So the last 2.5 to 3 years, so stuff is kind of meshing over into the other, transitioning from when I was unknown to when I'm trusted to when I'm trusted to when I'm making some money, is when I learned, you know, about products and services, how to do speaking engagements, how to, you know, have people look at you as a media source, so you're invited to events to cover, you know, what they're doing, interview different people in the organizations, an event is coming to town. Mm-hmm. So I put myself out there, and once people said, oh, okay, this needs to be said as a actual source, you know. So the last four years of on my own dime or fundraising or people sponsoring me, and the last 2 years solidly being able to say, okay, this money came from the business, as opposed to I'm spending this money for the business. Still, of course, you put money in, but the last 2 years have become profitable.
Okay. And Lisa, now you were saying that, you know, that's an issue with you at this time as far as going full-time as a writer. And I know that you have young children. So have you started making a plan for making that type of exit? Or do you have like a, you know, do you have like a plan that says, you know, in the next 10 years or maybe when the kids are, you know, in the last stages of high school? Have you done that to kind of gauge how you're going to make that change?
Well, my hopes is, I want to be doing it within the next year or two because I want to have that freedom. I didn't get it with my oldest one to have the freedom to be there for him at school functions and stuff, and now he definitely doesn't want me around being a sophomore. But my two little ones, I want to be able to have that freedom to be there, volunteer at the school, help the school out, you know, and have that freedom to even help donate to the school. And, you know, be there for them like I've always dreamed of being. I've always kind of dreamed of being a stay-at-home mom and just writing and doing my own thing. Well, who knows, maybe some, you know, in the next year or two, I hope to reach that point.
Okay. And can you tell me, who's your support team, Lisa? Who do you have supporting you with your, you know, with your passion and the challenges that you may have with your own business or with your writing?
My family, my friends, my family is very much behind me, following this dream. Of course, they tell me don't jump ship from your job until you know you have that financial support in place. But they do support me 150% on what I'm doing. And I'll have to say, when my grandma was passing 3 years ago, was when I was working on my very first book. So I really haven't been doing this very long. And I told her right before she passed, I'll have this published, Grandma, before anything else happens. And I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. But to keep my promise, I did it 3 weeks before she passed away. I ended up self-publishing that first book. And I feel like I rushed it because I knew it was coming to an end. But I'm glad I did it, too. So I wish she would have gotten to read it. But that's okay. That's okay. So, you know, my grandma was my true support.
Right. I understand that. That was my And my husband was my cheerleader, I always say. And so it's really challenging when that person that really supports you is a transition. But how do you define success for yourself right now? Do you define it in the books that you're writing? Do you when you complete it, or do you define it with the blog? How do you define your success? Because everyone's definition of success is very different.
Actually, for me right now, by putting myself out there a little bit more, because I've always been a person that likes to be behind the scenes and I'm scared to put myself out there. And the last month or so, I feel like I've really stepped forward and started doing more of putting myself out there. So right there is a success point for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And overcoming that hump of what people would think.
All right. And Catherine, what would you say that your success has been this far?
Are you asking me what lets me know that I've had some success?
Yes.
Okay. Great question. Whenever a client of mine has gone on to do greater things after they were terrified of radio, I know that I've had success. So with one of my commentators who did not speak English clearly, she was Spanish descent. It's still Spanish descent, but she was able to fine-tune her Spanish, sharpen her business. She knew her business, but it sharpened with the radio show because she was forced to prepare for an imaginary audience, she felt, for a while until she started getting feedback, and then she was able to make products and go out and have speaking engagements. So the radio show turned into several other opportunities for her. Another lady was a blogger with a large following, terrified of her voice. She now does a lot of voiceover work for commercials, and she got her first speaking engagement as a result of radio. So when I see the business owners come and expand their reach like that, then I know what I'm doing is successful.
So now I did read that you do a training class for broadcasters, or you do like a webinar, Catherine. So, I mean, I'm like, how do you get so much done with what, with your coaching and, with your radio? How does that, I have to say, everything lines up really good, but how do you make sure that all runs smoothly for you? Like, what are some of the, what are some of the tasks, and how do you make those tasks go smoothly?
Because it's full time for me, this is all I do, and I'm single, so I have a lot of time to devote just to that. So I don't have any other. I do have children, but my youngest is 15 now, and the older two are in their 20s and on their own. So my obligations are limited. So it allows me more opportunities to put into my business. But I also learned to delegate. I've started an internship program within my company. So I don't do all of this stuff by myself. Somebody else takes care of the website. Somebody else takes care of, content. And then I still collaborate with other business owners. So they're not directly in this, needs to be said, but I've learned to collaborate with others, and we've been able to benefit from each other. So that makes the work a little bit lighter. There's still a lot that goes on. And then automation. Learn to automate. Hootsuite is a friend of mine. And when people aren't pulling on you and you're up in the middle of the night, use that time and schedule stuff on your Facebook fan page for future days, So just maximize the time and take naps. If you feel sleepy, take a nap in the middle of the day and get back up and go at it. But it's just this is what I do full time.
Okay, that's great. That's some great. So now tell me, if you had an opportunity to give somebody some great advice right now, Catherine, what would you say to some woman that's out there listening to this program who may be thinking about taking that leap of faith? What advice would you give her?
Don't quit your job like I did. Make a plan. When you get that itch, that nudge, that inkling that you might want to do something that you absolutely love doing, begin to make a plan on what that would look like and take baby steps consistently moving towards that. I hear people say try to replace your income. I don't know that we have enough time in a day to do that, but I would encourage a person to collaborate with others that are already seasoned in business. Do not go into business mm-hmm. with your girlfriend who works a 9-to-5 too, because y'all don't have the mentality mm-hmm. totally for business. You're still leaning on, man, I have a check coming in 2 weeks or once a month or every week, and that's not going to help you mm-hmm. grow. So get a mentor. Okay, so let's back up. Don't quit your job tomorrow. Make a plan. Get a mentor. And believe in yourself and do what you love.
Those are all great advice, and I do like what you said as far as not going into business with your girlfriend. I was talking to someone, and they made a great point, and I never thought about this. They said that some people quit jobs and they want to create the perfect job for themselves rather than run a business run their own business. And I was like, that's so right, that some people just really are kind of working a business rather than running a business.
Yeah.
So definitely that advice is great advice. So what are you doing in the future, Catherine? What projects that you have that you're going to be doing with your business?
One of the things is a collaborative effort with me and four other ladies. It's called Greatness Under Fire. And it's an Elevate Me 90 project. So we're releasing free content. Actually, we started this week. So we got videos giving mm-hmm. advice, giving tips, encouraging women in business. So that is something mm-hmm. that is right now. And one of the mm-hmm. other things that's coming up for me directly with this needs to be said is my goal is to interview as many women as possible. I'm looking at 100 women, but more than that, but my beginning is 100 women that are passionate about something, whether it's in business or maybe they're, passionate about being a mom. But I want to interview 100 women, really short interviews, mm-hmm. Going into mm-hmm. 2016 to give them an opportunity to really learn to, talk about their own shine. And we as women, mothers, sisters, daughters, wives, we don't talk about ourselves that much. We don't give a whole lot of energy to ourselves. And although we talk about it a lot or it's being talked about a lot, we still somehow feel guilty about doing that. So I want to give the women a platform to do that. And I want to continue to grow the commentators on This Needs to Be Said, because business owners find magic when they use a radio platform as part of their marketing strategy. So those are mm-hmm. the few things that I have coming down right now. Thank you.
Okay. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. And, definitely, we'll make sure that we have Catherine's information on Vertical Magazine on Facebook and on the online magazine. So if you're interested in what Catherine's doing, you'll be able to contact her from the information that she's given us and be able to see a bit more about what's on her website as well. I also want to ask you, Lisa, What are your future projects? Because I know that right now you're passionate about what's going on with the horses in Arizona and Nevada, but what are some of the other projects you have going for yourself?
Well, of course, I'm going to continue the blog. I've got a few bands that I've been talking to that I'm going to be featuring. And then, of course, I've got Wheat Murders being released, and then I have another comedy book that called My Crazy Grandma that I'm going to be releasing mm-hmm. real soon. And then mm-hmm. Shanika Canty and I have been toying and playing and trying to make plans on doing weekly affirmation podcasts to kind of help people bring more positive into their life. And we just need mm-hmm. to get it set in stone. We talk about doing it, and then we'll make a time, and then both of us get busy. But that will be coming in the future for sure, too. I'm very excited about it.
Well, I love the idea that both of you are working toward, and and I see a lot of this. Both of you are working toward inspiring and motivating individuals, and I know that I don't think you ever have enough people that are doing that are motivating and inspiring people. And I think even if you see the top level. CEO, I would say, even they need motivation, inspiration. One thing that I do like what you said, Catherine, is that, if you need a mentor, I think a lot of people go in business and they think, oh, you know, I have a lot of this experience. I have a lot of education, so I don't need a mentor. But I really believe what you said also, that business is, owning your own business is very different from working for someone else.
It is. It is.
So
absolutely.
What would you, yes, because what would you say maybe were some of the things that you had to make that, because it is a mindset, what would you say probably one of the biggest mindset changes you had to, you know, you had to work with coming out of working for other organizations and having your own, Catherine?
Wow. When I was working on someone's job several times, I was like, any idiot can run this company. That was a thought I constantly had. And I never took into account that my little teeny-weeny job was a little cog in this big old wheel of a company, and I'm thinking I'm so good at what I'm doing that I could run this company, and no, you can do that part of the job. When I realized a bunch of, it's a lot that goes, who do I complain to about my check not being right now that I have my own company? You know what I mean?
That's a good one.
Yeah, you can't run into HR talking about, I'm going to need you to go in the petty cash drawer and get my check because my check was wrong. You can't do that.
That's right. That's so right.
I had a culture
right
shock.
Yeah, I don't think people really realize that, but that is a real big, that mindset is just totally different. And I was saying that, and I know that probably you and Lisa could relate. I was saying the other day, I finally got to a point where, and it's really important that you have a plan and you have a strategy and that you stay focused. And I remember the first day that I was having my morning coffee, and I realized, I was like, oh, you don't have to rush around nowhere today.
Everything's
coming, you know. And I said, man, that was the best feeling ever. So it was kind of like, you know, my little aha moment that, you know, after all those years, you're moving right along, and it's going like the pieces are fitting, and you start realizing that you do have that little extra time, and you know, you're on the right track. But I totally relate to the part where you say, like, yeah, you can't go to HR and say, where are my check?
No.
you can't do that. You're HR.
Exactly. That is when you really understand.
Right.
Don't work, don't eat. You definitely understand
that's
it
true.
Then.
Oh yeah, you do then. Well, Lisa, I would ask you, so, you know, because, Lisa, you came, you know, you had quite a few things that you did before you, you know, actually focused in on your writing and blogging. So I would ask you, what is some of the advice that you would give to someone that's probably thinking about becoming a writer or their blogging, and some of your experience, what would your advice be?
If you want to do it, do it. Follow your dreams and have no regrets. That's my main advice, because you get one chance at this life. So don't have regrets along the path.
Okay, that's a great one. Don't have any regrets once you get in there. I did want to ask you, though, Lisa, what made you decide to add to start doing a spiritual business?
Well, I've been studying spirituality under a friend of mine for the last 12 or 13 years. And I fell in love with it, and I realized I wanted to start helping other people like she helped me, and she still helps me along my path. And when I started reading for some friends here and there over the past year, it kind of clicked. I can do this, and then it really clicked that this is a guide, and if people don't want to see what's in the cards, the final outcome, they can change that. And you can change it just by the way you think, the things you're doing. And so that's when I realized this is something that I could really help people to make their life better if they don't want to stay on the current path they're on.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, ladies, it's been really good to have you on today. I really appreciate both of you being able to have the time. And before we go off, I want both of you to give your information to the audience. And audience, I'd like you to know that both Catherine Waddell and Lisa Hatfield will be featured on Vertical Magazine next week, and you will be able to get more information. You'll be able to hear, you'll be able to see how to obtain these books. If you're interested in doing some of the workshops with Catherine, you'll be able to get that information as well. But ladies, you want to be able to give the audience information. Catherine, you want to start out giving us some information from you?
Absolutely, and thank you all for having me on the show, and it was a pleasure meeting you as well, Lisa. To get in touch with me, you can head over to thisneedstobesaid.com, and you can find all of the social media contact in one spot, and you can kind of look around and see if you really like this lady exposing elephants in the room. One of the things I end the show with every day that I do the show is, you know, if you thought it sucked, tell somebody, because bad news travels fast. So I want you to like it or dislike it, but spread the word. As far as the Business Mindset Masterclass, connect with me on Facebook because that's a lot to remember. But it's businessmindsetmasterclass.com, and you can sign up via email, and we're already releasing the videos. And then we're going to have a Periscope day, and we have an unconference, which is also self-paced. It's released, and you listen to it at your convenience. You're not locked into having to be at your computer at a particular time. But just connect with me, businessmindsetmasterclass.com. Thank you.
Thank you. And Lisa?
I can be reached at my website on www.angelsigns111.com. And also all of my books are listed on Amazon under L.R. Hatfield. And then my blog is https://passionateorganizations.blogspot.com. And come over and check out all the interesting people that are featured on there and some of the articles that we're advocating for different causes. So, and we have some very, very, very amazing people that are featured on that blog, and they give you a little bit of themselves in it, too, so you can get to know them beyond their dreams.
Well, ladies, thank you very much for the information, and thank you for being on the program today. One of the things that we do with Women on the Rise, the program is really about connecting women to other women and to other businesses. It's about those women who are looking for information or they're looking for someone to be able to coach them. And so we will also have you on the Women on the Rise page. If you have events, I'd like to invite you to send them to Vertical to be on our event page because we do love to promote everyone that's been in here. You know, you guys are family now, so always think about if you want to come back or you have something that, you know that we want to promote, just let us know. We would love to have you back when talking about your what you're doing. Lisa, when you make that step, I would love to have you back and talk about you making that step. And for sure, Catherine, I do want to hear of your endeavors as you go into this new realm of coaching. I would really love to hear about that. So thank you again, ladies, for being on Women on the Rise. Thank you again. And definitely, I wish you the best in all your endeavors. If Vertical Magazine can ever help promote you to reach other women, let's talk about it. I enjoy the connection. Thank you. And thank you to our audience who have been faithful supporters for Women on the Rise over the last few years that when we started this program. We've had women that have been even funded from someone hearing the program. So please keep sharing the program. If you can help a woman, donate money, fund somebody, or you're interested in giving some scholarships, this is a place that you want to be. Have a great night, everyone, and we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye. Have a great night.